In Roman Britain, in the year 386, a boy named Maewyn Socket was born to a well-to-do family. Growing up in that area at the age of 16, pirates kidnapped him and took him into slavery, into Ireland. He was there for 6 years living in slavery. He finally escaped, and then returning back after some years later, decided to study to be part of the clergy. He felt a calling to return back to Ireland, the place where he was a slave, to bring the message of Christ to a number of people, different tribes, different groups of people that lived in Ireland. And so I think we kind of know what type of person he was, in the sense that we use the shamrock. That's the old legend of that, or the story, rather, of a shamrock, three-leaf, that tried to explain the Blessed Trinity to all these groups of people. Eventually, he obviously gets the name Patrick, and eventually we call him St. Patrick. Now, he's the patron saint of Ireland, obviously being part of having a profound effect. He's also the patron saint of protection against snakes and snake bites. And so even though there's never really been a record of a snake ever living in Ireland, okay, but somehow that came about as well. He is also the patron saint of engineers because he helped construct many churches throughout Ireland. In fact, he taught the engineers how to do arches in building churches. He is also the patron saint of migrants. As we know, the Irish would migrate to different parts of the world as well, so he has a special heart and devotion to those who migrate during this time. But St. Patrick, if we were to say his mission is, it's always outward thinking, always moving forward, and yes, even to return to a painful place of his slavery, knowing that Christ gives freedom. I hope for 44 years now, this is the 44th year of our parish named St. Patrick, that we too leave this place. The word Mass means to be sent, that we have a profound effect in the world. The last 4 years, though, have thrown many parishioners, Christians, and all people for a loop. How do we get to understand our purpose and meaning again? Because the goal line and the boundaries have changed. People have changed their outlook on life. How do we center back? How do we find purpose and meaning? 4 years ago, Becky Eldridge, a great spiritual director, she also does retreats, award-winning author, and talks to people throughout the country, is coming back again today. And she is going to talk about purpose and meaning for us, especially during this time. How do we get our bearings right? What is God asking of us? And if St. Patrick's goes out into the world, what a difference can we make in giving? So today I'm glad to invite Becky Eldridge, who spoke to our women, will speak Monday night at, or rather Monday evening at 6:30 to 8 o'clock, and also on during the day from 9 to noon for those who want to come and spend extra time. Welcome Becky Eldridge from Louisiana.
Am I on? Eddie, I did it, I thought. Man, I keep missing to turn it on. You know, Father Eric, he and I have had a lot of conversations about what's changed in the last 4 years, and I just had a revelation. You know that LSU now has a Heisman Trophy winner since the last time I saw you, right? A little Go Tigers. We have a little football banner. He likes to tell me Go Tigers, and I tell him Go Irish, because we have his coach, you know, Lou Kelly's down there. But thank you all so much for the invitation to be back. So much has changed in 4 years, has it not? And I know in our house, we have three kiddos, and one of the best ways that I notice change is that I now have a 17-year-old, a 14-year-old, and a 10-year-old. Y'all can pray for the Eldridges, right? On Friday, before I came, Friday morning, I went to a 8 a.m. meeting about, you know, the junior getting ready to go to college. And then that afternoon, Chris took Abby, our middle daughter, to go get her learner's permit. So The elder just needs your prayers, okay? But these last 4 years have been so challenging, especially as a mom and a parent walking our young people through the very same thing that we've living. Have y'all felt that? Those of you who have been around young people in these last 4 years. And not only did our family experience COVID and the impacts, and we still feel it. Chris is still not back. He still works from home. Put a little stress on marriage, having two people working both from home for 4 years. But we've also had some real personal loss in our family. And at one day, Mary, who's our youngest, she was 9 at the time, about a year ago, came to me, and she was having a very hard day. We lost a young person very near to us in our lives. And she looked at me with these just big tears, and she just said, "Mom, this stinks," right? Have y'all said that in these last 4 years at some moment? This stinks. This is not what we wanted. And what I want to offer us this morning are four things that I know Chris and I have been trying to offer to our own family and to our own children. And these four things are also that I have offered to people and adults from all around the world as I've spoken in these last 4 years. And the first thing that I want to offer is rooted in what we just heard in the gospel. It starts with naming the real, right? How do we go through these times of life that are hard and challenging? And we just heard in the gospel that Jesus was saying a grain of wheat has to die for it to bear fruit, right? Grain of wheat has to die for us to be able to enjoy all those good grains and breads and things that we like. In your own life, these last years, in your life right now, what's the real of your life that you are holding? And yo, we're really good as humans. We can tell people about the real we're going through, can't we? We can talk about it. We can gripe about it. We can moan about it. And what our Christian faith invites us to and what Jesus models for us is to shift who we're naming our real to. And what I want to encourage all of us and give us permission to do is to name our real to God. Because if we look to Jesus, who says, "I'm the way, do what I've done," we know that Jesus went to the real of people's lives. He did not live like an ostrich. And so he went and invited people to name. He said, "Name to me your sickness, your loss, your area that you need mercy. Name to me your grief of losing a loved one," like we see him doing with his own friend Lazarus, or the widow who lost her son. So the first thing that we can do in these hard times, if we want to really live our faith, is to name with courage the real of our lives to God. The second thing that we can do is we can grow deep roots. I know this may not be a tree y'all see a lot. I've seen a lot of cactus and prickly things around here. But this is a Louisiana oak, a southern oak, that they're everywhere in my home state. And what always amazes me about the oak trees, because I have an oak right out front of my office in my house, right in our front yard. And I have watched that oak survive so many hurricanes, right? So many gale force winds that come through on a random day, not even during hurricane season. And what we know and what we're taught is kids from the get-go, when you ask, you know, parents, grandparents, aunts and uncles, how are these trees still standing? They'll tell you two words. They'll say, deep roots. Deep roots. So when we're facing challenging times, like we have been, we have an invitation as Catholics. We can either choose to not lean on our faith, or we can take the opportunity to grow deep roots, deeper roots than we already have, so that we don't try to go through it on our own, but we have deep roots. And so think about your life. How are you engaging with the faith right now? I just want to keep welcoming you to come home to the sacrament. Come home to this community of faith. Engage even more than you may already be doing. Because we can come together and help each other grow deep roots of faith so that we can bring out into the world what the world needs, which is hope and light and joy and mercy. So the first thing we can do is name the real to God. The second thing we can do is to be very intentional about making sure we are rooted in God. And the third thing I want to offer us is we can lock on the light. This is an image of a sunflower I took. I'm a southern girl, y'all. I've been in Louisiana. We've lived in Georgia, Texas, and now we're back home in Louisiana. But this sunflower is an example of one that I watched grow in Georgia. And what's amazing to me, I did not know this until a squirrel knocked our bird feeder over and a sunflower seed dropped. And I watched how sunflowers go after the light with tenacity. And one time there was this sunflower that dropped and began growing up, and it realized it didn't have enough light. So it grew parallel to the ground, made a 90-degree angle around a brick wall to get to the light. Do we seek God like that sunflower did? Do we, in hard times, in our day-to-day life, do we lock on the light like sunflowers do? Sunflowers start their day in the east facing the sun, and the entire day they follow the light until it sets, and they end their day facing in the west. In hard times, our call is to lock on the light of Christ, to lock on God's voice above all. And I want to really challenge us to this as we're in an election year, y'all. God's voice above all. God's voice first and foremost. God's voice as we engage in our lives and in our relationships. Because when we do this, when we give ourselves permission to tell God about the real of our life, the way Jesus did, when we grow our deep roots and we lock on the life, what it enables us to do is bear fruit. And that's the fourth thing that I want to offer is and invite us to think about is how are we being called to be giving, right? To bear fruit generously so that our lives witness what we believe, witness what we are rooted in and what we're locking on, so that we can share it with others. And when we think of the two types of fruits that we can offer people in hard times, the first is the fruit of the hard stuff we've gone through. I know I tell people all the time in spiritual direction and when I talk to them on retreats around the country, I say, you know, we all have membership to clubs we wish we did not belong to. Do y'all have a membership you wish you didn't have? I know I do, right? Memberships of clubs like cancer, brokenness in family system, right? Addiction, suicide, all of that has been part of our life. But what we can do when we take the real of our life to God, when we keep growing deep roots and we lock on the light, what that does is God transforms our heart. Just like we see God doing with Jesus on the crucifix. And then suddenly, we have a well of compassion to offer others, right? From the real of our life. And in these last 4 years, and our family has had it's been the hardest years of our life. We made it because people offered us their gift of their real. They offered us their well of compassion, and they looked at us and said, Becky, Chris, Brady, Abby, Mary, y'all are not going through this by yourselves. I've been there, and I'm going to walk with you. That is a great gift that we are called to give out of our Catholic faith is the fruit of our hard and the fruit of our real. So what about in your life? What have you gone through that God is saying, bring it to me? Let me touch it. Let me heal it. Let me transform it into a well of compassion that you can give somebody else. And with that, the other fruit that we can bring out into the world, this is a Louisiana satsuma that comes into full bloom in September, and everybody gets so excited when we get to eat Louisiana satsumas because there's so many. They're abundant. We have the fruit of our gifts, our time, our talent, our treasure. And these last 4 years, what I've watched is we've walked away at times from the things that we used to do. And I want to encourage us all to come back. To come back and stay deeply rooted in the sacraments, deeply rooted in community, so that we can go out into the world to the people who need us. And y'all, it's time. We are not allowed to be couch potatoes in our faith. We need to buckle up and put on our running shoes and go. Because when we name our real, we have deep roots of faith, we lock on the light, and we have the courage to share what we've received. This is how the world changes. This is how we are called forward to be voices of hope. So in these last days of Lent and as we head into the Easter season, what I want to challenge all of us to, myself included, is who needs what you have to offer? Who in your family, your friends, your colleagues, who in this community of faith, who in the world, the larger geographic boundary that this parish touches, who needs your time? And how is God inviting you forward? And I want to invite you, like Father Eric said, tomorrow there's two more opportunities to give you a chance to help nurture those roots and lock on the light. Tomorrow morning we'll be spending time on prayer and how do I hear God's voice in the middle of all that's going on. And then tomorrow night we're going to look and take a deeper dive at when the reel of life hits, because it will. How does God walk with us in it and offer us a pathway of hope? So I invite you to join me, and also in the back of the narthex, I'll be here after Mass, and I have my two books. My passion, y'all, is to help people know, love, follow Christ so they can serve God and all people and things. And so I invite you to consider those, and I'll be back there. Can't wait to meet y'all. But please, y'all, let's come together and be the voice of hope that our world needs. Amen.